Pacifico, Phil Henry.
And a good evening to you. It is the world-famous Phil Henry Show live here from the El Pacifico every night. The roiling surf behind us. Every night we're here till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch.
Yeah.
And we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. We welcome you to our program. We are in the midst a little bit here of a healthcare debate. I'm going to bring one of our listeners on from New England, from Massachusetts, Dennis, here in a minute. R.C. Collins is going to join us from Bradley Military Academy later on in the program to talk death penalty. What has that got to do with the military? Well, we'll find out. And we've got other news to cover tonight. We also want to mention to you that tomorrow it is episode 12 of the Free Phil Henry podcast, and we've got another record breaker, man. Tomorrow, we've got Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police on our Free Phil Henry podcast talking about belt sanding cars during the D.C. sniper scare. And wait till you hear the grief that he takes from a couple of veterans. That's just part of it. And then we've got a double shot of Ted Bell. Now, next week, on the 4th of July, we are going to roll out our first ever best of one individual character on the show, the best of Ted Bell. It'll be available for download on our website, philhenryshow.com. It'll be available for download the individual tracks or the entire selection, collection. The best of Ted Bell.
What you said Ted Bell.
It's Ted Bell.
His name is Ted Bell, though, right?
His name's Ted Bell, yeah.
Why do you spell it?
B-E-L-L.
But instead of you spell B-I-L-L.
No, it ain't Ted Bill. Ted Bell. Okay?
That was a Tony Bill who was a producer.
That's fine. There was a Tony Bill that was a producer. I'm talking about the Ted Bell who's a steakhouse guy. Excuse me, if you don't mind. Let me continue.
Sorry.
Ted Bell will be rolling out, baby, the best of Ted Bell next week on our website, philhenryshow.com. Look for it. Available in our shop. All the downloads, or individually or together. Okay. 877-876-7445 is our number here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And as I mentioned to you, we've got Dennis on the line. Dennis is a listener. And where are you listening to us, Dennis?
Right now I'm in Brantford, Massachusetts, Phil. But I live in the Boston area, and I wanted to, talk about the Obama health care.
I understand that.
And that the Supreme Court tomorrow is going to be ruling on this, and I think it's very important.
It very much is important, sir, yes.
And I think that the American people are going to be looking very carefully at what the Supreme Court does. And
are you in favor or opposed?
I'm in favor of it, and I'll tell you why. I know it's very controversial, but we've got to do something in this country. We've got to figure it out, because right now the money that we're spending on health care is astronomical, and I'm not an eloquent man. I don't do what you do, for instance, Mr. Henry, for a living. My line of work is a construction business, and that's what I've known, and I've been doing it for 35 years. But I can tell you, being involved in that line of work, the health care bill is very important.
All right. Tell me, you are in favor, and I think traditionally, and especially talk radio, seems to be a traditionally conservative, I shouldn't say conservative medium, but, although I aesthetically it's conservative, but I'm saying politically we seem to hear a lot from conservatives. Would you consider yourself a liberal?
No, I wouldn't. And I don't necessarily believe that to be a conservative, you've got to be opposed to the health care. I'm a conservative, and I am not opposed to health care. I'm in favor of health care.
And as a conservative, did you vote for Obama or did you vote for McCain?
I voted for Obama.
And now that's unusual, isn't it?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how other people voted. I'm just telling you how I voted, and I'm telling you that I voted for Obama. But I am politically, I'm very conservative. Economically, I'm very conservative.
What do you think is what has changed? Because do you think that a health care bill is health care legislation is consistent with you being a conservative?
Yes, sir, I do, because I think the cost of health care is so out of control that all of the working people of this country are affected, and the business people of the country are affected, and it causes economic disadvantage for a lot of them, and it causes economic hardship for a lot of them. And so, from my way of thinking, I think that it is a good conservative point of view. I know there's a lot of conservatives that don't believe in health care, but it's costing my family more money than we have. We can't continue to pay these monthly insurance bills of $700, $800, $900, $1,000, $1,200 to insure my family. And my wife is looking at a surgical procedure right now that is going to cost quite a bit of money. And we don't have it.
What? I'm sorry. Your wife is now looking at surgery. Is this a life-threatening condition?
It is a cosmetic condition that is something that she's had to deal with since she was a teenage girl, that has caused her a great deal of psychological pain, you know, as well as the physical limitations.
What is she's going in for surgery?
Yes, sir. She's going in for a cosmetic procedure called a gluteal implant in the buttocks because she has been since she was pubescent, I guess, an adolescent girl. She has been very, very without any shape there. There's no shape and there's no tone, and she's had to deal with the inability, you know, to really be satisfied as a woman, you know, to look like a woman. She's had to deal with this. I know that there are people who go through a lot of things in life that they need a doctor and they need to pay for it and they can't afford it. So I know I'm not just speaking for my own family.
Your name is Dennis, right?
Right, Phil. It's Dennis Shaw, and I live in Boston. I'm in, Brantford, Massachusetts right now.
All right. I want to talk to you a little bit more about this. We'll open our phone lines up for after our break. The number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. But I want to ask you, do you think that a buttock implant or gluteal implants, as they're called, is a necessary surgery? Because cosmetic surgery, a lot of it is not covered by insurance.
I don't know if this is. Well, I will tell you, yes, it is necessary, and it very much should be covered by insurance. And I will tell you that right now we don't have insurance to cover not only this, but we don't have insurance to cover a lot of necessary medical procedures that we need. Dental insurance, for instance, what my family doesn't have. We can't afford it. But for my wife to go in for this surgery, which is a surgery that is necessary, but we won't be able to pay for it. She's going to go in and get this surgery done? No, because she has to have it done.
How are you going to have the surgery done if you can't pay for it?
Well, we're going to have the hospital bill us, and we will simply have to ignore the bills, you know. It's kind of the same process that people...
How do you ignore a doctor's bill?
Well, Mr. Henry, it's the same procedure used by people that have walked away from their mortgages, for instance, of their houses. They can't afford it, you know, so they won't pay for the mortgage, but they're still living in the house until such time as there is some formal eviction. But what we're going to have to do, and I don't want to do it, I believe me when I tell you that it isn't anything that I look forward to doing, but we're going to have to have my wife go in for these implants, and then once we are billed by the hospital, we will not pay for it. And
so you're going to go in under false pretenses, sir, you know?
I understand that, but you need to understand, Mr. Henry, and I know there's a lot of people...
No, I know that you are without funds. I understand that.
But what you don't understand is we've got to have this done. My wife goes through year after year after year this kind of torment.
But we're talking about a cosmetic procedure, too.
No, sir, this is not breast implants, sir. This is a gluteal implant so that she has a shape to her hips. Right now she's got a very flat rear end, and it is ugly to me. and to a lot of the men that I talk to. And I love my wife, and I want to be proud of her, and I don't want her to suffer.
And all right, well, there's all kinds of suffering when it comes to medical procedure and the lack of medical procedure. I don't know where yours falls.
But you see, this isn't anything that you decide. This is something that we need this, and we need the insurance, and we don't have it. We can't afford it.
But that's the other thing. You're going to go to a hospital, and you're going to have this done, and you're not going to pay for it.
Yes, sir.
But you're going to go under the pretense that you can, though.
Yes, sir. That's what we've been forced into, yeah.
All right. Hang on, Dennis, okay? We'll talk some more about this.
All right, and I appreciate very much you having me on, Phil.
Okay, that's good, sir. Thank you. 877-876-PHIL. So his wife's going in for gluteal implants, which is basically a buttock implant. They can't afford it, but he's going in. They're going in anyway. They're going to have the surgery done, and then they'll just say, well, we can't pay the bill. So the Supreme Court is scheduled tomorrow. The Supreme Court is scheduled tomorrow, I believe, to take up and to decide on this matter of Obamacare, national health care, if I have that right, bud.
Double check.
All right, 877-876-7445, 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We are going to be rolling out our Best of Ted Bell in a week. We would certainly like you to join us for that on our website, philhendryshow.com. Don't forget the free Phil Hendry podcast, episode 12, tomorrow, and you can access it there at philhendryshow.com. On the line with me is Dennis. He lives in Massachusetts. His wife is scheduled for cosmetic surgery. These are called gluteal implants. Some people call them butt implants or buttock implants. Dennis, and you say that these are necessary. It isn't some vanity thing.
No, sir. No, sir. Because it's a vanity thing for maybe if they were breasts or something like that. I can see that because there are a lot of women who go in for very unnecessary surgery on their breasts because that's what, you know.
I understand.
But this is to make my wife, you know, more appealing for something that's important to me, and that is that she has this implant. It's not about me wanting her to have bigger breasts.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number. Let's go to some phone calls, and then we'll continue talking to Dennis. We got Mike here. Hi, Mike. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Dennis. Go ahead.
Hi. How's it going?
Good, sir.
I'm calling from Fort Knox, Kentucky, and
yes, sir.
You know, my wife just had plastic surgery not too long ago. She had what's called a belt lapectomy, where it's like a tummy tuck, but it goes all the way around. It lifts the buttocks. It, you know, drops the belly and stuff like that. Years ago, you know, she was 285 pounds, and she had a gastric bypass. Well, then she had the loose skin. So, you know, for her birthday present and everything, you know, we drained the savings and everything to get the surgery done.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it put me in debt, you know, because the total surgery was well over, you know,
$27,000.
Wow. But, wow. We put it on a credit card and stuff like that. But
yeah.
Before they would even cut her, you know, before she could even be taken back, I had to pay $5,700 up front out of the savings, which, you know, we expected it because we talked to the doctor prior to. He explained
and they would, not, would they take the $5,700? Would they put the $5,700 on the credit card, or you had to actually pay them cash, or how did that work?
I had to pay them cash.
I want to, Phil, could I say something to this man? Sir, first of all, I think your indication was clear. You said you had to drain your savings. That was the word
yes.
You used, drain your savings. That's why we need Obamacare, you know, because you had to drain out everything that you have worked your life for, and a lot of Americans are doing that, and I don't think it's right.
All right. Sir, I understand what you're saying, you know,
right.
But, you know, one thing I don't agree with is you saying that you're not going to pay the bill. Because to me, that's called integrity. That's what makes a man. And if you create a bill, that is your job as a man to pay it. You know, and I'm not speaking just as a physical man. I'm speaking as a human being.
Yeah,
you know, that's what makes us a society.
Well, I think that you and Mr. Henry might be old-fashioned guys, because you know, like me...
What's old-fashioned about that?
Well, because you can't... Nowadays, it used to be you could do that, but nowadays, if your wife is walking down the street like my wife is, sir, and I don't know, you say your wife is overweight. My wife walks down the street, and she has no... It's flat. She has no rear end, and it is... It's difficult to look at. And so...
But would you call that a necessary surgery?
Yes, well, I would. Very much.
It is kind of necessary. You know, like my wife, it's something that she's been wanting for a long time. It builds her self-esteem, her self-confidence.
There you go. You know, that's what I'm talking about.
So,
I
do understand that aspect.
But
me loving my wife, we've only been married for 2 years.
And already she got, and she had a weight problem from what, having children or something like that?
No, she's been big her whole life.
And you still married her.
She had gastric bypass.
That's tough from, right, but see, if you already knew that she was a large woman, maybe it's necessary. But my wife used to, my wife never had, she never had a good rear end.
She had the gastric bypass before we ever met.
Who, my wife?
And
my wife
never had
that surgery.
No, his wife.
No, my wife.
Oh, all right. But
My wife had the gastric bypass before we ever met.
Right.
And, you know, she has the loose skin from losing so much weight. You know, now she's 132 pounds.
But what I'm trying to say is this is very necessary surgery. So you said I'm going to tell them that I can pay for it, but I'm not going to pay. And why? That's what Americans are being forced into, Phil. They're being forced into this. And
nobody's forcing you into not paying a bill.
When you have medical needs. I've been having this argument for a lot of months, Mr. Henry, so I know what I'm talking about.
What did you want to say, Mike?
Okay. Once again, I would like to hit that is called integrity. Okay, and
integrity until
the reason why we have to have the reason why we have to have Obamacare and all these other, you know, substandard or Section 8 housing and pay more in taxes is because of people like yourself who are racking up bills and not paying them.
But what do you do when you have a medical emergency?
And that's just not a medical emergency.
No,
I just don't see a medical emergency.
You are wrong. I got to tell you, ask any woman in America if walking down the street and her pants are saggy like she's a man.
Okay.
If that's not something that is a psychological, very hard.
Okay.
So,
all right. I got to take a break here. Mike, I appreciate your call, though, man. I got to get to some other calls here. I don't know how much time we have. Let's go over to Lauren. Lauren, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, please.
Hi. Yeah, I was just calling about this guy that's getting his wife some implants for her buttocks. And I was wondering...
Gluteal implants, yes, ma'am.
Gluteal implants.
Called gluteal implants,
Does he think that Obamacare is going to cover that? Like, would you rather have the government regulate everything? Or would you rather, you know, take out a loan like Mike did and pay for it like a man... make payments on it like a person, like an American, you know, pay your bills? Or would you rather have the government tell you that you can, and who knows what's even in that bill, that maybe you can only get one implant, and you're walking around with half an ounce? I mean,
it's either that, or nothing gets paid for. You see what I'm saying? Because if we don't have Obamacare, then let's say your son or your daughter loses an arm in an accident, and somebody says to you, hey, why don't you pay the bill like a woman and not complain about it, you know?
We're not talking about losing an arm here, though, sir. We're talking about cosmetic surgery. Lauren, hold on. Lauren, I want you to hold the line, Lauren, and we'll be right back, okay? 877-876-5 Phil.
I'm not going to pay for it if I can't.
Hold on. We're taking a break here. With more of your calls on Obamacare, the Supreme Court will be making a profoundly important decision. They'll be deciding on the life or the death of Obamacare either tomorrow or sometime this week. It's world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back.
For my wife, they have gluteal implants, so her ass is shapely.
Hold on.
Phil Hendry. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. We're talking with caller Dennis from Massachusetts. And Dennis, I thought one of the interesting things you said early on is that you're a conservative, politically conservative, correct?
Yeah, I would say very much so, yes, sir.
But you are a big fan of Obamacare. And the reason why I say but you're a big fan of Obamacare is because, you know, conservatives are not known to be fans of Obamacare.
Well, I think that if you are talking to conservatives that are, you know, are using their brains, I think you would find that there'd be a lot more conservatives that are that are in favor of it. But I find that there's a lot of conservatives that are not. They're sort of knee-jerk conservatives. They opposed Obama just because he was a Democrat and he was black, you know, and you find a lot of that.
Well, I mean, you're saying conservatives automatically are opposed to black skin.
No, but I know a lot sort of vote like that. But I think in my case, we believe in more of a libertarian kind of view where if it's necessary, you have to, you know, whatever is necessary, right? And my wife...
See, the question here is your wife's surgery a necessary medical emergency? Not an emergency, but is it really a necessary medical... Is she going to die if she doesn't get implants... gluteal implants.
Is she going to die? Well, you're not going to die. You're not going to die if you don't get reconstructive surgery for if you had a mastectomy and they had to make two new breasts for you. You're not going to die if they don't make two new breasts for you. But I don't know if there's not any national health care plan with very much they get you front of the line to have the breasts made. And
No, but you understand what I'm saying? You're saying your wife is unshapely.
I'm not just saying she's unshapely. I'm saying that when my wife puts on a pair of pants, it looks like an old man is wearing them. It looks like an old man, if you've ever seen the way an old man looks in a pair of pants. And I don't want it to make it sound like I'm looking at old men wearing pants or anything like that.
No, I know what you're saying. Old elderly men who lose a lot of weight, you know, don't have the weight, they don't have the muscle tone they used to have. So what, the pants are baggy?
It's more than baggy. There's a complete lack of this. There is a complete lack of shape there. There's nothing there. Just the pant hangs. And this is psychologically damaging to her. It's also psychologically damaging to me because I'm walking down the street with her. And so I know there's people looking at her and they're wondering about me and that,
what are they wondering about you? What are you worried about? Your first concern is your wife.
Yes, my first concern is my wife. But then my second concern is going to be, how does this reflect on me walking down the street with a woman who has this kind of a body? And
we talked about integrity. We're also we've got a decided lack, I think, here of depth in terms of your feelings for your wife. Here is Lauren. Go ahead, Lauren. I'm sorry we had to put you on hold there during the break.
Hi, that's okay. I understand where he's coming from with, you know, as a woman, I understand body issues and things like that. However,
right.
I'm very embarrassed for your wife, Dennis, that you're on here talking about her like that. And
I mean, I have to say something because I don't think we're addressing the problem as a country. My wife, I don't want to embarrass
my
wife.
No, I totally understand where you're coming from. And, yeah, it would be nice if insurance companies covered elective surgeries like that. But the fact is that they don't. And it's not going to – shoving this enormous – piece of legislation down our throats and in our pocketbooks is not going to make your wife have implants paid for by the government. I don't want to pay for them. You're obviously not going to pay for them.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Go ahead.
Well, I think that Obamacare, we don't know. You say
exactly.
Elective surgery. That was the first thing that I picked up on there was you said elective surgery. This is not elective surgery.
It is elective surgery.
She must
because
have,
it's not necessary.
No, ma'am. She
it's
must
cosmetic.
Have this surgery. And
why must she have it?
She doesn't have to have
because
it.
Because I want... I need
she doesn't
it.
Sound
need
like she has cancer and she's having a mastectomy or something like that. She's getting a butt implant,
you,
which is the same reason why women get breast implants. And I understand that.
No,
I understand.
I can tell you that our marriage isn't gonna last if she doesn't
okay,
have
Okay, so
this.
Why should we pay for that?
Because you just said you won't pay for elective surgery. It's not elective. It's an emergency. And
what makes it an emergency?
Your wife's ass implants are not an emergency. I'm sorry.
Ma'am, you can laugh. Well, let me ask. Can I be allowed to say it?
Yeah, go ahead. But everybody's trying to be heard here, Dennis. So
I apologize, but this lady laughs. Maybe she was born with a nice looking, if I can use the word, ass. You know, but my wife has got an ass like a 95-year-old man.
Okay, well,
right.
I'm sorry that she has that. We all have bumps and bruises and freckles and big butts, small butts, big boobs, small boobs. And you do that kind
anything.
Of thing so that you feel better about yourself, not because
right.
it's an emergency. It's not an emergency. You're insurance.
Why is it an emergency?
Cover something like that.
What? Yeah.
It would be
why
nice,
do you call it an emergency?
Going to. And Obamacare
because
is not
I'm
going to
leave
better.
Her. I will leave her if she doesn't get an ass. That
and why
I
is
can...
that our problem? Why is that our problem? You're not going to pay your bill. You're going to get your wife's butt implants and not pay the bill. That's
well,
going to go on somebody.
Okay. Why is anybody's medical problem our problem? Why, you
exactly.
know?
Well, that's the question. That's the question.
Socialized
yeah.
medicine. Are you serious?
Exactly. That's what a lot of people are asking, Dennis. I don't necessarily disagree with you on Obamacare, but it is the question that everybody's asking. Why is this our cost?
Because, Mr. Henry, as I said to you at the very outset,
because
he
wants
lady,
his wife to have a bigger butt.
No, ma'am, because I can't afford it.
That you call yourself
I can't afford
sir.
It. I cannot afford it. I've been a conservative my whole life. I voted.
Then don't get it.
Are you kidding?
I don't go out and buy a car. Hey, you know what? I don't go out and get liposuction because I want to feel better about myself. I don't get it. You work out at the gym. You do things. There's other things. She could buy like a Spanx with a butt lift in them. There's other things that you can do other than getting surgery.
Ma'am, with all due respect, she can buy those Spanx, like you call it. The minute she drops her pants at night, guess what? I get to see.
Okay, let's, you know, the lady said have a little respect for your wife. I think we're talking about her now like she's
seriously.
An object.
I'm sorry, but are you kidding? The minute she takes the Spanx off, she's got the same flabby ass. And
you know what? The lady here is making the point of other things. You can get a Stairmaster. You can do curls using, weights
you
on the legs.
Not, you could have not married her.
Are you serious?
You could have not married her. I'm sure she hasn't had a butt her entire life.
She
Why did you
not.
Marry her
she
if
is.
You weren't attracted to her?
Because there was a business opportunity. That it, I owed it to my family.
Oh my goodness!
Are you kidding me?
No,
Let's
Mr. Henry, I love my wife.
Sir, are you kidding
no,
me?
No,
I feel sorry
no,
for your
I love
wife.
My wife very.
Your business opportunity didn't work out
her.
Too good.
No, excuse me. Allow me to say something here.
No, your business opportunity didn't work out very good, man. If you can't afford surgery now, so what business opportunity?
Mr. Henry, at the time, it was a very good opportunity with a father.
How embarrassing!
Oh, brother!
How
embarrassing
for your wife, sir. Oh, my gosh. If my husband
well,
was talking
was
about me the way you're talking about your wife, I would be devastated. Yes. Devastated.
Well, no. Well, you may have a very sensitive nature. I don't know what your problem is.
No, no. The lady's
talking. Your whole argument is ridiculous.
Yeah. No, ma'am. Not when you consider the fact that people have elective surgery.
Yes, sir.
That
it speaks
by
volumes
insurance.
To your character and your integrity, sir.
What about bald treatments? That's insurance. I know that's covered by insurance.
Certain treatments for baldness are, others are not. certain treatments like topical medicines, but I don't think the surgery. You're not going to get a insurance to pay for that.
I beg to differ. If you've seen the commercials, they say, and we do pay for your bald head, or whatever, however they say that. Now, this lady doesn't like what I'm saying.
All right, listen, I'm going to let this lady go. Lauren, thank you very much. Good points that you made. 877-876-PHIL. We're going to move on to Elisa here. Finish your point there, Dennis.
My point was simply this, that my wife, I love her very much. I married her because her father was in the grain business, and there was an opportunity. But I do love her.
Okay, Elisa, you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Yeah, go ahead. You're on the air with Dennis and me, Phil Henry.
Okay, Mr. Henry. Okay, yeah. First I'd like to say I love listening to your show. I listen every chance I get.
Thank you.
That's how I caught this beauty of a story. For one thing, I'd like to say I'm an African-American woman, and I don't want to say how old I am, but when I was
I bet your husband has no complaints at all.
Hold on. Let's let the lady talk. Hold on.
Now, when I was a young girl, I unfortunately was blessed by the Lord with this gluteus maximus that all these women seem to want to have now. I see actress after actress, person after person going to go get their butts cut open to get some fat put in their behinds. Now, that doesn't make any sense. A booty implant is just like a breast implant or a facelift. It's something that a woman is getting to beautify herself. And I have to say, in defense of your wife, if I was your wife and you was on the radio talking about my behind, like you talking about hers, we'd be getting a divorce. And I'd be looking into that business deal you made to marry me in the first place.
Because that's
not nothing that you want to say on radio about the woman you keep claiming to love.
That kind of
love, I would hate for you to hate that woman. Because
don't
want to pay the bill. That's like a deadbeat dad.
I can't, man. I can't pay the bill.
I'm a taxpayer. If you don't pay that bill,
yes, ma'am.
I'm going to end up paying that bill. And for one, I ain't going to see the booty. I'm not going to.
But if we have Obamacare, if we have Obamacare, that pays for it. Obamacare will pay for it. That's why I'm in favor of
Obamacare. Now about Obamacare.
Did I'm saying about
and
that?
And again, I'm an African American.
Can I just say one thing?
And ain't no love
I would give anything to be married to a woman like you. Oh, God, would I love it.
Can you say martial law? Obamacare is one step to martial
law.
That's what I have heard people say when they talk about this stuff. If you let this man force you to get medical care, what's going to stop him from forcing you to be in your house by 8 o'clock? If you don't
all he's trying to
medical,
do is to help me pay for my family. I'm trying to pay for my family.
That's not the American way. I don't
and
know
Obama
what
Mr. Obama's
thinking, but that's not what our forefathers, that's not their vision.
You can say that.
That they want to force us to do what they want us
yes,
to do.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, go ahead. Final point here, Dennis. Then we got to take a break.
I just wanted to say to the lady, first of all, I think it's easy for her to say because, as she said, the Lord blessed her with a butt that, you know, and I'll say this with the greatest of respect. You know, I wish I was, you know, I love my wife, but I wish I was married to her. I mean,
Your wife could be listening to this.
No, I'm just saying, if the butt, you know, I don't know anything about Elisa, but.
Yeah, you just want a woman with a nice size ass.
I didn't say ass. You're using the word ass. I'm talking about gluteal enhancements, you know? And Obama's going to give me an opportunity to wake up next to a woman that's got it's got an ass.
No, he's not.
What are you getting emotional?
I'm getting emotional because there's so many people don't understand. This lady is her husband's happier than a pig in slop because he wakes up next to her every morning, and I got to.
And you got this wife that's listening to the show tonight.
Okay, she's listening. Honey,
crying.
You know, if my wife's listening, I love you, baby, but your ass ain't making it.
What a thing to say.
She should divorce you.
Elisa, thank you. I've got to take a break. I appreciate your phone call. 877-876-PHIL. I love you, baby, but your ass ain't making it. Well, I'm sure it's been said many times in the history of our country, from the revolutionary period forward, but it has never, ever, in my opinion, been wrapped around a discussion on national health care. 877-876-7445. It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-7445. We're online at philhendryshow.com every night with our live video cast of the show. So if you want to watch us on our video cast, you can certainly watch the show as well as listen to it. It's our radio show, it so happens, is the one radio show that's worth watching because most of them are a little dull. 877-876-7445. Dennis on the line with us here from a listener of ours from Boston and talking about Obamacare. Tomorrow, at some point, the Supreme Court takes up the issue of Obamacare. Will this become the law of the land? Is it constitutional? That is always the big question. And before we get back to some calls here, Dennis, have you had any thoughts on that?
Mr. Henry, yes, I have had thoughts on it. And I don't have any doubt in my mind that it is constitutional. I think that President Obama is trying to address a very desperate need that the American people have to have these medical procedures taken care of. A lot of these are out of pocket. Insurance companies are not going to deal with the breast or gluteal implant. And I want to say also, people may say to me that the gluteal implant is not necessary or emergency. However, if I was talking about my wife having breast implants, now maybe people can relate.
And I still don't think anybody would say it's a necessary procedure.
I think you're wrong. I think the obsession that we have in this country, I think is childish. The obsession we have with the size of breasts in this country is ridiculous and childish. And yet, I don't think there's anyone that would argue that the insurance company shouldn't pay for it.
I disagree.
I disagree with you. You know.
Okay, that's fine. 877-876-7445. Let me go over here to Kathy. Hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Kathy, go ahead.
Yes, sir. I just have a comment for Dennis, the remarks that he's making and all about that he feels that it's something that needs to be done. I've gone through breast cancer about 6 years ago as a single mom. I had no help, no support, you know, going through it. I did not elect all this stuff that he's talking about, that when you go through breast cancer, you can have reconstructive surgery and it's paid for. It's not. You still have to pay to have it done if you choose to.
In Canada they do it. I met national health care. It would be paid for with national health care.
I had insurance. I paid to have insurance and all, but it does not cover everything that you go through. The surgery I had to pay a percent on it. I busted my butt, and I did it. I did not get it for free, what I had to go through.
But, I mean, if we had Obamacare, they'd give you two, you know, you get two new ones. I shouldn't say new ones, but I mean.
No, Obamacare is not going to take everything. People,
how do you know?
You saying you can't afford to pay for the surgery?
No, ma'am, I can't. Yeah. I can't.
You can't afford to have it done, and you're not going to pay the bills. Who do you think is going to pay that?
Well, the American people, but the American people will pay for it anyway if we have Obamacare. And this is necessary surgery. And
you keep calling it necessary. This lady went through breast cancer. Your wife just doesn't have a shapely ass, excuse my language.
No, it's not just not shapely. When I talked to the lady before, that lady Elisa, who said she had a really big behind, or however, I got emotional. I started to cry, and the reason I started to cry was because I imagine having a wife that had a butt like that, I guess if you want to call it that, and that I would never have that.
Well, then
you
should have chose that. You should have chose somebody that had that instead of going after what you did. You're selfish. You don't consider your wife, and you say you love your wife, but if you did, you wouldn't be online on the phone trying to do this. A man married me knowing I have no breath, and he doesn't look at it that I look like a man. There are other options that you can take.
I wouldn't mind that. I don't care. I wouldn't mind if you did not have any breasts, because I like a nice size butt. That's all I want. I don't care. So I'd be like your man,
but
you know.
I'm just saying, if he chose like you when I'm out of my clothes and I don't have breasts to look at, then he's not a man. And I'm sorry, I don't consider you a man because
right.
you want a big butt wife that you're putting your wife down like you are.
I'm saying that I love her and I want her to have.
No, you don't love her.
I want her to have what I want her to have, but.
Do you want her to have what she wants to have? Do you want her to have what she wants to have?
She wants to have. Well, she wants breast implants, and I told her that is vain and unnecessary. And what is necessary is a big butt. And I know that that's. I'm sorry if you laugh, ma'am. How can you laugh at me when you don't have breasts?
What is that supposed to mean?
That is right. I don't because of medical issues and all, and I choose not to. I chose another direction to go.
I don't mean to be offensive, but everybody's yelling at me.
What are you crying about, man? Because your wife doesn't have a big butt?
Yes.
You know, you are very selfish, sir.
All I ask for is to get up in the morning next to a woman that doesn't have the ass of Walter Brennan.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch, and we go places other talk shows wish they could. They just simply cannot. They are, it's an impossible. In fact, not only can the talk shows not go there, but a lot of times the whole broadcasting industry is in the dust.
Well said.
Thank you. Now, this hour we have R.C. Collins from Bradley Military Academy. We're going to talk very briefly, and I know we had an awful lot of calls on our Obama health care issue, and certainly we will be discussing that in forthcoming shows. But we are going to, as they say, shift gears here and talk a little bit about the death penalty with R.C. Collins. Now, I want to remind you that our website is philhenryshow.com. With a backstage pass, you have access to thousands of hours of archived material. I mean, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, well, thousands of hours going back over a decade of full radio shows. And now that our archive is complete, I'm very happy to report. I think maybe do we have like 1 or 2 months?
Yeah, I think we got like 2,000.
Well, there's 1 month in the year 2000 that needs to be filled in. Now that our archives are complete, we're going to begin working on logging all of this. We have done something that I don't think any other radio show has ever done. We have absolutely archived every single solitary show for 13, 14 years. So that's a long time. It's there on our website. We also have our video archive, which we are going to begin to fill out a little bit. Right now we have a 5-day video archive. We have our shop where you can go and pick up souvenirs and Phil Hendry merchandise. We have other archive material, character bits, television appearances, interviews that we've done. It's all there at philhenryshow.com. With a backstage pass, you will have access to all that. So why not? Why not get one? Tomorrow is episode 12 of the free Phil Hendry podcast. It's a great way to be introduced, by the way, to those archives. Just listen to the free Phil Hendry podcast. You can download it from just follow the banner on our homepage. It's available on Podcast Directory. It's available out there on Stitcher. It's available out there on iTunes. It's everywhere, baby. The free Phil Hendry podcast. 877-876-PHIL is the number, and I think we still have that Boston line open, Bud, if you can just close that off. R.C. Collins joining us now from Bradley Military Academy in Altadena, California. R.C. is a junior cadet there and has been at Bradley Military Academy since his freshman year. With a eventual goal of going to West Point and becoming, obviously, a commissioned officer. And then, R.C., you're talking about going to Fort Benning?
Yes, sir. The first goal would be for me to go to Fort Bragg, which is...
Fort Bragg, I'm sorry, that's in North Carolina?
That's in North Carolina to be in the airborne. So
That's really, I mean, everybody that goes in the Army these days, there really is only one, there's really only one unit that you want to be a part of, because in a lot of ways, if you know anything about the military, you want to be in a unit that's, as we like to say in the military, you know, that's real, that's a real heartbreakers, you know, and I don't think that there's more of a bunch of heartbreakers than airborne, 101st Airborne, and they've got the legendary status, you know.
Yeah, they're very well known. Is that the Screaming Eagles?
Yes, sir. That's the Screaming Eagles, and they was in northern Iraq in the beginning of the Iraq War, and they was in Afghanistan, and they was also in Vietnam. On the movie, if you saw it, Hill 875.
Well, I know the one you're talking about. That was Doc To.
Well, I don't know.
That was the Battle of Doc To, and Hill 875 was a major hill. That was U.S. Airborne. So I know what you're talking about. R.C., you wanted to talk a little bit about death penalty?
Yes, sir, because I am currently dating a young lady that I've talked with about the death penalty. I'm ready to go to war for my country, and I am ready to kill the enemy of America, whoever it is. Doesn't make no never mind to me. You know, they're just all one dumbass after the next, as far as I'm concerned, if they're going to take on my country. But I have been talking recently to a young lady that I've been dating from the girls' school, which is Mount Vernon School down the road from us. It's an all-girls high school.
Okay.
And she's been talking to me about a death penalty and that it's wrong to take a life just to make sure that the guy, you know, if he's a murderer or whatever, you can put him in prison and it'll do just as much good, you know?
Okay.
But the thing that has caused me confusion, someone who eventually does want to be in the U.S. Army, and like I said, I want to be with nothing but heartbreakers like the 101st. If the death penalty is wrong, then killing Osama bin Laden doesn't make any sense. You know what I mean? And I've been wrestling with that.
If the death penalty is wrong, killing Osama bin Laden doesn't make any sense.
Yes, sir. And I've been wrestling with that because this young lady, her name is Marguerite.
Okay.
She said that we could have... Well, I asked her about bin Laden, and she said the death penalty was wrong, so we never should have done it. And
we never should have killed bin Laden.
According to her, yes, sir. It makes some sense to me, because if it's wrong, then who am I to say to take another life, you know?
Now, let's slow down. Let's just stop here for a minute.
Okay.
You want to be a soldier.
Well, yeah, and believe me when I tell you, Mr. Hendry, it's not because I'm scared of killing nobody, because that just doesn't factor into the equation, okay? That I've factored that in, and it doesn't factor into the equation.
All right, no, I understand that. But as a soldier, if you're told to go and kill bin Laden, regardless of what you think about the death penalty, are you going to go?
Well, but see, doesn't that come under the heading of my belief system? They probably wouldn't ask me to go.
Yes, they would. Yes, they would. You know?
Well, if they knew that I was against the death penalty.
But wait a minute, this is not the death penalty. First of all, I am in favor of the death penalty, so I don't have a moral confusion here. I think I understand your moral confusion. You're saying if the death penalty is bad, which you now think it is...
Yes, sir, I'm pretty well convinced it is.
All right. You are now applying that standard that you have for the death penalty, you're applying it across the board to any and all, actions that our country may take in terminating human life to defend the country. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, because I don't see no difference if you're going to take...
Okay, no, hold on. I just want to make sure. I understand what you're saying, because, killing somebody in lethal injection or killing a guy in Afghanistan, what the hell's the difference? It's the death penalty. Is that it?
Yes, sir, that's it. But I mean, I want you to know that I'm very patriotic too. I mean, you're making it sound like I don't have. I mean, this is not a question, Mr. Henry, of whether I got the guts to go out and break a few hearts. You know, I'm ready to eat my own guts for my country. You know.
Well, I mean, hold on, because it doesn't sound to me like you are. If you're going to sit there and say, well, you know, but the death penalty, I'm against that. You know.
No, Mr. Henry, no, you're all wrong there. I am ready to go to war and do everything that is going to be done. And
except kill bin Laden. Maybe except kill anybody.
No, well, what I'm saying is, if the death penalty is bad, like what I think it is, then I don't believe in no death penalty. And then, yeah, you're right, I'd have to say, no, I can't kill nobody. But there's also, Mr. Henry, you can go to war and take up arms against the enemy and not kill them so much as you're just gunning them down and to keep them from going and attack or, you know, taking over something.
You know, you might ask your instructors there at the military academy or other army guys.
And one more thing, Mr. Henry.
What?
You can take prisoners of war too, like as you know.
Yes, I do. But hold on, I would suggest you ask your instructors there. What do they think of the strategy of just gunning somebody down without killing them or taking prisoners? What do they think of that?
Well, I mean, I think you need to be in the military academy that I'm in to understand.
No, you may be right. Maybe I do need to be in your military academy to understand all the tactics and all of the strategies and all of the plans that are put forth in your classes, because I understand that that's what war colleges do. But I'm just saying, you might want to pose that to your instructors. What about we go to war and we not kill anybody, we just wound them? See, I ain't getting this one, man. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. I'm with R.C. Collins from Bradley Military Academy as we talk about the death penalty. And his aversion, even as a soldier, he is against the death penalty. And so, therefore, he believes he has to be against killing other soldiers in wartime. It's the same principle that is terminating the life of an enemy of the country. 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. I'll be right back with R.C. Collins and your phone calls.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
You'll get any phone calls. Yeah,
don't worry about it, okay?
Well, that's it.
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
What they're going to do about it.
All right, hold on for a minute. We'll talk about it. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. If you are a soldier in the United States Army, but you are personally opposed to the death penalty, does that mean that you, therefore, in good conscience, can't kill anybody? That's what we're talking about here with R.C. Collins. And you came to this point of view because of a young lady you met.
Yes, sir.
And what was her name?
Because I don't believe, Mr. Henry, that... I mean, I'm not saying...
No, hold on. What was the name of the young lady?
Oh, her name's Marguerite.
Okay, Marguerite, and you had this long talk, I guess, huh?
Yes, sir. I dated her, and I'd seen her at the Commandant's Ball, and we had gone out, and she's very beautiful and everything, but, you know, I mean, as a member of the military, I mean, you pretty much got the pick of the litter anyway, you know. And so I was going to blow her off. She's hot, but, you know, I was going to blow her off and just play the field and everything.
Okay, that's fine. But you got to know her, and you've been dating her.
Yes, sir. And anyway, I started going out with her, and she's against the death penalty. We talked about it. So for me, that means if I'm against the death penalty, well, then I can't go like when they killed Osama bin Laden.
Yeah, and so as a member of the military, you think you're going to say to a commanding officer, I can't go and do that, sir. I'm against the death penalty.
Well, I think if you tell the commanding officer ahead of time that you have to, that you've adjusted your views, and that he needs to probably factor it in, you know, then they'll factor that in.
What are they going to factor in, man, that you are against the death penalty?
Well, Mr. Henry, I know you don't know a lot about a military, and they'll factor in that I don't. They'll factor in that I'm against the death penalty, and then they factor that in.
And then they say, well, we can't send RC.
We won't send out, Collins because of that.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let me just get to a phone call here, because I got more questions for you. Darwin, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show here with RC Collins.
Hey, thank you very much, man.
Yes, sir.
I just want to tell that young man straight up, if he is against killing people, he needs to get out of the military. I was only an Army reservist for 6 years here in Colorado, and that
uh-huh.
was through the 80s. And I did my part, and I was ready to go die and do whatever it took, young man. But if you have a problem with killing someone, you should not be in the military, and you damn well don't let a little girl control your situation if you're a warrior.
Well, but I mean, what I'm saying is, I'm ready to eat my own guts for my country. Don't make any mistake about that. I'm going to go out and do the deal and break some hearts.
Drop the drama about eating your guts and all that crap, young man. It's straight up. You know, step away from the pipe. I don't know what you're doing or what you're on right now, but you're talking a bunch of jumbo.
What are you talking about?
When you step up and you sign that paper, you're prepared to go to war and do whatever it takes. No right to die, and you don't let nobody else control that situation. You sign your name to protect your country, no matter what it takes. It's an eye for an eye, young man.
Exactly, and I'm ready to go out.
I did my...
Wait a second. I want to do it, but... What about my rights to not believe in a death penalty?
Well, if you believe in it, you got your rights. Yes, sir, you got your rights. And if you do not believe in the death penalty, you damn well shouldn't be in the military.
Give me two more.
What is that noise I'm hearing?
As like, if somebody killed someone here on the street in my town...
Uh-huh.
They should die. I think anybody that harms anyone else has the right to be killed. You know,
I think they definitely need to be.
When you're fighting to protect someone is one thing, but if you're out
uh-huh.
there killing people to make you look better, then
uh-huh.
you need to knock it off.
Well, wait a second.
You're not. Bin Laden and all that crap. They weren't out there to protect our nation. So that's
right.
a whole different
right.
ball game than what you're trying to pull on us. So, you know, just
not I'm not
it
trying
off.
To pull nothing. I'm trying to support the country
you
and be a warrior
believe,
on account of what Gull said.
Fine.
Ain't you ever met a pretty girl?
That's it. Bin Laden had to go down. He killed thousands and thousands of people. He had to be taken out to protect
no
our
about
country.
It.
He had to
no
be
question
taken
about
out
it.
To protect our country.
Well, let me jump in here, Darwin. You say that he has to be taken down. Hold on, Darwin, because I want to jump in, because I agree with what you're saying. And you just said, RC, you agree with Darwin.
Yeah, 100%.
Well, then how can you say you're not going to go and kill Bin Laden?
Because there's other things you could do. You could take him into custody.
Take him into custody?
Yes,
do you know that?
See, when you get out of military school and you actually have to get out there with loaded ammo and protect yourself and your soldiers, your friends,
I hear
your people that are
I'm
around
ready
you.
For it.
When you got
I'm good
when
to
somebody
go.
Shoot at your ass, when somebody's shooting at your ass, you're gonna shoot back.
Uh-huh.
And that man
I'm good to go.
Did not want to do anything but kill or be killed.
Right. And what do you mean you're good to go?
I'm good to go. I hear everything the man's saying. And
you ain't good to go. You're not good to go if they say you got to go kill Bin Laden, and you ain't good to go.
I am good to go except for that. And
you were letting a little girl control you a while ago when this conversation started. You because
not really.
She said one thing. You, dude,
really.
you need You need to get your head out of your butt, brother. There's only two ways to deal with being a soldier. You either get out there and take care of business, or you drop out and run home to mommy.
Well, I want to go, but you got to understand, this girl was talking to me about it, and it made sense what she was saying. She was talking about being left.
What's that noise I'm hearing?
What?
What is the noise?
It's a blender.
I'm sitting in my truck with no
that's,
sound
it's not you,
me.
No, it's not you, Darwin. It's not you, Darwin. It's a what?
It's a blender.
A blender. What are you guys doing? You making margaritas or something?
We're having a refreshment. Yeah.
I rest
it's
my
a situation.
Case. Step away from the whatever.
No kidding. The blender. Yeah.
We're having a situation.
You're having a situation. All right, listen, Darwin, thanks very much, sir. Good words of wisdom there from a man who has walked down that walk. 877-876-PHIL.
Well, wait a second, Mr. Henry. I think something needs to be said right now about that. I'm not trying to put anybody down or anything, but that man said, if I'm not mistaken, I heard the man say that he was Army Reserve. Did I hear that right?
Yeah, you heard that right.
Well, okay, I mean...
You mean what?
Well, Army Reserve, that's kind of... You're like on the weekend, you go and...
No, that's Army Reserve. First of all, he was in the Army, then he was in Army Reserve. You have to be in the Army.
Well, I don't know about that. He said he was Army Reserve.
You can't be in the Army Reserve unless you first spent time in the U.S. Army, okay?
Well, but what I mean is the Army Reserve guys, it's not really being in the Army. And
all right, hold on, because I don't think you understand. And being in a military academy, that surprised me. 877-876-7445. If you're a soldier, but you don't believe in the death penalty, would you have gone out to kill bin Laden? That's what we're talking about, at least with this young man, R.C. Collins of the Bradley Military Academy. We'll be back here, 877-87... What is our number? 877-876-7445. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I'll be right back.
Phil Henry.
Here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and our News and Information Hour is coming up. Don't forget, episode 12 of the free Phil Henry podcast debuting tomorrow on most of your podcast places, podcast directory, iTunes, or you can go to our homepage, philhenryshow.com, and access it. We recommend that, in fact, accessing it right through that banner, and you'll get to our podcast lickety-split. With us on the line here is R.C. Collins from Bradley Military Academy. We're going to get to some more phone calls. You just said something, R.C., and we're talking here about the death penalty and whether you're going to kill bin Laden. And there's a lot of moral... And the girl that you made a point, you know?
I mean, her name is Marguerite, Mr. Henry. I don't want to disrespect her or have nobody talking about her like she's a piece of meat, you know?
No, I'm not trying to do that. I'm wondering how this factors in.
Well, I mean, she's very beautiful, and I do want to someday... You know, I'm hoping that I can have to be able to be, you know, to spend the night, okay? I'm not trying to be disrespectful of her, but if to spend the night with her and everything, and I hope to do that. And
okay, so you hope to do that. So does that have anything to do with you embracing her viewpoint on the death penalty?
No, Mr. Henry, I'm way ahead of you on that one. Mr. Henry, I'm pretty squared away on that. I know what it takes, man. I'm squared away, and
well, what does that mean? This girl is so beautiful. You want to get with her, spend the night with her, however you want to put it. So you're adopting her point of view.
No, I'm not, Mr. Henry. I'm just saying that in order for me to get the right perspective on it, I mean, I want to do talk to warriors, and I'm not trying to disrespect no National Guard guys or Army Reserve guys, but do they have what it takes, you know?
Do you have what it takes, man? That's what we're asking here. Do you have what it takes?
Why are you asking that?
Because you're a guy who is against the death penalty, which means I may not want to go and kill bin Laden. And now what you're telling me, a lot of that has to do with this girl, Marguerite.
Please, Mr. Henry, don't disrespect her. I'm not disrespecting anything that you're banging right now.
Excuse me, young man. Watch your language.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, sir.
Okay, watch your language and the way you refer to whatever is going on in my life. I guarantee you, you don't know.
I apologize, sir.
877-876-7445. We're going to a phone call here on the line with us is Mickey. Hi, Mickey. You're on the Phil Henry Show here with R.C. Collins. Go ahead, sir.
How you doing, R.C.? Hey, I'm going to tell that young man one thing. I was on active duty with the 8th Infantry Division during the first Gulf War, and then again with a National Guard unit. I served in Iraq in 2004 and 2005, and him thinking that he can go tell his company commander that, oh, because I don't believe in the death penalty, I can't go do a certain job. That's wrong, because when he goes and tells his company commander that, and he's given the order or a direct order to go do his job, if he disobeys it, then he falls under a conscientious objector and will be put out of the military.
Well, I mean, I understand that, sir, but don't you think that the company commander would know ahead of time which guys he'll send out?
No. It don't work that way. Hey, orders come down from top brass that this unit, whether it be the 101st or whatever, you're on a list to go overseas for rotation. If you deny or disobey going over there, then you would be placed under charges.
But I mean, were you in the 101st? Did you go in the 101st? Because you probably know what they did.
No, this gentleman said.
I was with the 8th Infantry Division, and I also fell under a unit over there with 1st CONSCOM.
Wait a second. Did you say you was in the National Guard? Everybody knows those guys just hang around on the weekend.
You're wrong. You're national. The National Guard and the Army Reserve is not just a weekend deal.
It's a
rotationary force. All we do is rotate back and forth overseas, relieving active duty. I was also under the 8th Infantry Division. If you know anything about the military on active duty,
sure I do. Part of the 90s. I studied up on it and everything. Hey.
Okay.
I got a joke for you. What if the guy said it's time for you to go to Iraq and you go, rotate?
Hey, we're not telling jokes right now, okay?
What kind of joke? That's not a joke.
We're not telling.
Well, you know, sit on it and rotate.
We're not telling jokes right now. We're talking about you, pal. You want to go in the military. You eat your own guts. You're the guy that said this stuff.
Well, Mr. Henry, that's military talk that I'm not sure you
understand. Eat your own guts is not military talk. That's something else you're getting from your little Yahoo buddies there at your little academy. You got to stop and fight. You're sitting there talking about the National Guard. Oh, they only do this stuff on the weekends. Seems like you're the one that's in school not doing nothing. But once you get with 100
right now, we're studying battle plans, sir.
Fort Bragg. I have been at Fort Bragg. You go up there and tell the company commander at Fort Bragg that I don't believe in the death penalty. I can't go do my job in Iraq. They're going to kick you out of the military, plain and simple. And if
you're an officer,
are you going to tell your guys that, the company commander give us a job, we have to go down to this place here in Iraq and defend this little village, but if any of the enemy pops up, don't kill them. We'll just take them hostage. Well, when bullets are flying,
exactly.
You don't think about that. You kill or be killed when you're in a combat situation.
Well, what I was going to say, sir, is that I don't mean to disrespect you or anything, but see, in the military academy that I'm in right now, we're studying battle plans of a great many of the different, wars and everything. Like right now, we studied Chancellorsville, which was a Civil War one. And
Civil War. Oh, boy.
Well, it's important to study the battle plans, even though I know that there's different equipment.
It's important to study the battle plan. But
this man's talking about practical.
He don't believe
how are you
going to
be
because of what his girlfriend said?
Well, I mean, she made me feel different about it.
You just got done saying you want to sleep with her.
I want to ask you something. If a guy coming down the street is a known thug, you and your girlfriend there, he gets ticked off because he don't like the way she looks and he kills her, are you just going to walk up and shake his hand or say, oh, that's okay, I don't believe in the death penalty, you're all right?
Well, no, I mean, in the battle plans that we're studying right now...
What battle plan are you studying that's going to help you protect your girlfriend?
What?
What battle plan are you... This gentleman just said the girlfriend's attacked on a street. You going to kill the guy? What are you going to do?
Well, in that case, I'm taking care of business.
Okay.
You're killing him.
How can you believe that the death penalty is wrong when you yourself just said... If your girlfriend got attacked, you're going to take care of business. That doesn't mean killing a guy.
Okay. Yes, it does.
I'll tell you what. If me and my wife's walking down the road and a guy attacks my wife, I'm going to put my military training to use, and I'm going to do everything in my power to kill that man, to keep him from killing my wife.
I'm going to take care of business. That's the difference.
What do you mean by take care of business?
Take the guy down and zip tie him.
Okay. Listen, Mike, very good call, sir. I appreciate your call very much. You're going to have to move on here. Our number 877-876-7445. I got to tell you something, Marcy. What we're hearing here.
Well, Mr. Henry, I mean, I can hear you laughing and people. And that guy is asking me questions that are. He's talking about it from the perspective of a National Guardsman. And. What's that mean? He's sitting working on a Jeep? No.
No, he just got done telling you that he went to the Iraq War. He went to the Iraq Theater as a National Guardsman, as well as a member of the United States Army. Okay?
Well, yeah, but when he went to Iraq, the only thing they have National Guards people do on a most of the time is either work on the motor pool or, like, unloading crates and stuff. From, like, the barges that pull in down the river.
Well, you know what? You're saying a whole lot of crap that sounds like it's right out of Mark Twain. I don't know what you're talking about. You know,
What
do you mean that they're unloading barges down the river? What is that?
I'm talking about, Mr. Henry, anybody knows that the National Guard.
You know, everything you're saying is disrespecting the National Guard. You know that.
No, sir, it's not.
Yes, it is. You're saying all they're doing is working in a motor pool and they're unloading barges. And, you know, and it just like you said, that the Coast Guard, all they do is teach people how to inflate inner tubes. I can't believe you, man. What are they teaching you?
I told you right now we're learning battle plans, Chancellorsville, but also, and the other guy didn't listen, we're learning the battle plan of Belleau Woods of the First World War. And another thing we're learning about is the... Is the airborne operation marketplace
Market Garden?
Yeah, Market Garden of World War One or World War Two. I don't know which one.
World War Two. I know more about it than you, and I'm not in military school.
Well, you were in military school.
No, I never was in military school. Never, never was I in military school.
Well, I doubt that, Mr. Henry. You're pretty convert. I mean, how do you know about the Market Garden?
I was never in military. I read history. Okay, listen, hold on. We got to take a break. 877-876-7445. So you guys in the National Guard and in the Army Reserve, you'd be interested to know that all you guys do is work in the motor pool and unload barges that come down the river. R.C. Collins with us. It's incredible. And this kid's in a military academy. On top of everything else, he doesn't believe in the death penalty because he's been having these conversations with his girlfriend. And so he doesn't know how he could kill bin Laden if bin Laden were still alive. Thank God bin Laden was taken care of by guys that didn't have the same problem. 877-876-7445 is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And we'll be right back with more right after this.
Truth is our bitch.
The Phil Henry Show.
Fine.
World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here. We got our news and information hour coming up on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. After the show, you can check the homepage of philhenryshow.com, and you'll see our show log that tells you everything that happened in the show. You can also check back back pages to see other shows, other show logs. You can see right on the right-hand side the five-day archive. That's where all of our podcasts, the immediate podcasts, go. And then, of course, we have an archive of all the shows. And you'll also see a video archive there as well at philhenryshow.com. 877-876-PHIL. R.C. Collins is on the line with us. Time to go back to a phone call. And we have Eric. Eric, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with R.C. Collins. Eric, you were a Marine, correct, sir?
Yeah, I was Marine Corps. I was 2-5 okay. at the company in Camp Pendleton, California.
Okay.
And
okay.
My deal is, if I'm sitting there and my buddy's getting attacked, I'm not going to sit back and watch him. Like, man, I can't help you because I don't want to kill this guy because I don't believe in death penalty, buddy. I'm just going to watch you get stabbed or shot or blown up.
I ain't going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to say, you know, I'm going to take him down.
Take him down?
Yeah.
No, take him down. I mean, are you going to restrain him? I mean, what are you going to do? Because to me, in the Marine Corps, we thought, hey, one shot, one kill. Hey, two in the chest, one in the head, buddy. That's how it's supposed to be whenever you're in war.
Well, I ain't talking about being, you know, like a lot of guys in the Marines, that's all they, I mean, I'm talking Army, which is, you know, doing a battle plan and stuff.
Huh?
So what's your MOS going to be in the Army? I mean, what's your MOS going to be?
Well, what do you mean?
The MOS is a job that you're taking while you're in the Army.
Well, I want to be, I'm going to be an officer in the infantry, but I do want to be airborne.
You want to be airborne.
Now, if your subordinates find out that you're an officer going in and that you don't believe in death penalty, they're not going to want you to go into war with them. They don't want you having their back.
Well, they've got to do what I tell them to do because I'm the officer.
But this man's saying, that's a very good point, Eric. You got men that are serving under you, and you don't believe in killing people? The morale is going to be horrible. You're going to have a mutiny on your hands.
Exactly.
What do you mean, a mutiny?
They're not going to want to do what you tell them to do.
Well, then I'm going to have to put my boot to some rear ends, won't I?
The respect there is not going to, there's not going to be any respect there for you, buddy. Because we had brass come in that had no ribbons. I had more ribbons than the brass did. We didn't have respect for them because they came from an academy like you did. And it's because, hey, I come in, I'm a boot, you're a boot just like they are. I was a Lance Corporal, and we had a second lieutenant come in. He had no ribbons. He shot marksman. I mean, it's. And then if I found out he didn't believe in death penalty, then that was, man, there's already a lot of things going against you there. So.
But, I mean, what academy did he go to? I didn't think the Marine Corps had an academy like West Point or something.
No, well, he went to college.
Navy.
He did, and then came in.
He went to college.
And then came into the infantry.
The Naval Academy, too. Don't the Marines come out of the Naval Academy? Maybe not.
Are you kidding, Mr. Henry? The Navy. Ha, 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 ha. There's no Marines come out of that.
All right, fine. I don't know what I'm talking about. But Eric made a very good point. They want to see an officer that's had experience or at least inspires confidence in them. And knows what he's doing and wants to do what soldiers are supposed to do, which is kill the enemy. When you talk about not killing anybody, what are you talking about?
I'm only trying to say, what do you do when you've got a pretty fair piece of ass? Well, I shouldn't have said.
Don't watch the piece of ass stuff, okay? Are you telling me that you're against the death penalty because the girl you're with is hot?
Are you trying to tell me that you wouldn't take that into consideration? Come on.
I'm married. I have
what an
a wife.
Idiot.
My wife told me, we'll go to Iraq, but don't kill anybody. Man, I would. It's either them or me, and it's not going to be me, buddy. Let you know that right now.
Would your girlfriend want you to go to war and stand there while another guy killed you and you didn't kill him?
Margarita's she's a pacifist.
Yeah, that's great, man. That's a great girlfriend for you to have. Listen, Eric, thank you very much. Thanks for your service to the country. Appreciate having you on the line here. 877-876-PHIL. I want to get over to Mike. Hi, Mike. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, I'm not saying that I'm totally convinced of it. I'm trying to figure it out.
Go ahead, Mike.
Just going a little further on to his National Guard stuff. I was in the National Guard. Now, unfortunately, I didn't do what?
Yeah, he was in the National Guard. So you know what they did, don't you?
Yeah, you want to know what they do?
Yes, sir.
They do this. They do the same stuff as any. They do the same stuff as any other military.
Well, but I mean,
you still get deployed. Now, yes, when you're here in the States, yeah, you do 1 weekend a month, 2 weeks a year. But you still get deployed. And when you get deployed, you're active duty, right in the middle of war. And you do the same thing as a regular Army guy does. You don't sit there, unload barges and work in the motor pool and all that, unless that's what your job is. If you're in infantry and stuff, you're going to do the infantry work.
Well, who unloads the barges?
What do you mean unload barges?
If that's what your job is and stuff, your MOS, as the Marine guy who was just on there was saying, that's what you do. If your MOS is in the motor pool, then you're in the motor pool. My MOS and stuff was, I was in the 301st maintenance company. I worked on the cars. I worked on tents. I did different things like that. Now, I wasn't deployed.
And you could be a pacifist, too, if you did that.
No, you couldn't, man, because they might order you to go out and fight.
Right.
Are you kidding me?
You're going to have to go fight. No matter what your MOS is, pretty much, you can go fight. If it comes down to it and they need people on the battlefield, your butt's going to go.
Yeah, but think about it. What if I'm the cook? What if I'm cooking? If I'm the chef? They're not going to make me go fight.
Yeah, they might, man, if they need you to. Yeah.
If the base gets under attack that you're on, your butt's going to have a gun in your hand. You're going to be out there firing bullets instead of turning stoop.
Oh, well, yeah. I'm going to go and do it then if the base is under attack and stuff. But if I'm
the
chef, because America, most of the time, we're not going to have no base being under attack. We're the ones that go out and break hearts.
Oh, boy.
Sir, my job was staying in a trailer. I was in an air-conditioned trailer and stuff, sewing up tents. That was my job. That's what my MOS was. I was a seamstress. My butt got pulled out in the field and had to go on the line. So don't tell me they won't
I just can't feature that. Some guy that's in a sewing circle, the next minute you know, he's breaking hearts.
That's why you take training for it. It don't matter what.
Hey,
your
Mike,
job
thank
is,
you.
Everybody takes the same basic training.
You're right. Mike, thanks so much for calling, and it was great to talk with you, especially your candor about being a seamstress.
Yeah, and then he says he's out there breaking hearts and taking names? I doubt it.
Will you shut up and go to bed?
Hey, Mr. Henry, can I get an autograph?
World famous Phil Henry Show coming up next is our. It's our News and Information Hour. We'll be right back.
Phil Henry. Pacifico, Phil Henry.
877-876-7445. It is our News and Information Hour. Phil Henry here, along with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. And you were interested in that story I was telling Bud?
Yeah, find out the name of that guy.
Well, all right, so I got to tell the audience that I was talking to Dan during the news break, because we were listening to some ZZ Top, and I said to him that I'd seen ZZ Top at the Forum years ago, man.
What was the album?
The album was the one that had Sleeping Bag on it. I don't know if you guys remember that one. So,
What kind? What bag?
Bud, don't start pissing me off, okay?
Not a bag.
Yeah, Sleeping Bag. That's the bag.
Is that your bag? Like they used to say back...
Shut up. God.
Shut up, man.
Hey, Bud, what are you, trying to piss everybody off?
You just do what that kid did.
Well, don't do what the kid did. So anyway, I saw ZZ Top, and we're in the Forum Club, this club at the Forum, which it's saying the words the Forum it feels good because, you know, now we have Staples Center here in the city of Los Angeles, and I don't know what the hell they have at the Forum now. I guess, do they have anything? All of the teams play at the – all of the basketball teams and the hockey teams, one hockey team plays at the Staples Center. So anyway, I'm in that private club. Now, there was a movie years ago called Taps. I don't know if anybody remembers the movie Taps. And in the movie was a little fat actor who played one of the kids – in the military academy, as fate would have it. It wasn't anything that I was planning on talking about, because I was actually talking about ZZ Top, and somehow we got onto the concert that I went to.
You thought it was really loud.
Yeah, it was. My ears were ringing for days after that show. I mean, for days. I thought there was a point there where I thought I was going to lose my hearing, honest to God. So anyway, we go to the Forum Club, and it was, I don't know whether it was between the opening act and ZZ Top coming on, and this little actor from that movie, Taps, is in there, the little fat guy, and he's hitting on my girlfriend. Now, at the time, I was living with a young lady. She was a colleague, a fellow professional, and she was working at a radio station. I was working at another radio station. In fact, she was the one. She was working at the better radio station because she got the tickets for the show.
She was working at a radio station you wish she was working at.
Pretty much, yeah. So this little fat clown is hitting on her, and every time I would look at him, as if to sort of maybe warn him off a little bit.
Why didn't she do something? She's any kind of woman at all. She'd have discourage it.
She was. I mean, she was sort of she was throwing me glances and laughing at him. But the thing that made me angry was he was throwing me glances and laughing.
Maybe he was hot for you.
Will you shut up with the joke?
That's funny. Shut up, man.
Come on. So that always stayed in my mind because I thought, and my thought was, it was probably rather immature of me to think this, but nonetheless, I did think it. I thought that there might have been a sense of entitlement that this guy had, because he was perhaps a well-known actor. I didn't know his name. To this day, I don't know his name, but I did recognize him, and maybe he felt entitled to just hit on someone's girlfriend and thought it was funny looking at me. That's the part that really bothers you, you know?
Now, why'd you kick his ass?
Yeah, what are you sitting there talking about it, man? You're burning daylight.
Because I'm not going to kick some guy's ass for, you know, be necessarily disrespecting me if my girlfriend is, you know, she's aware of it. She was handling it. What do you want me to do, man? You want me to start a fight in the middle of the Forum Club?
Yeah, I would, man. The guy's sitting there, hey, ha, ha, hitting on your girl and everything.
Did he touch her butt or anything? Because that'd be surefire throwdown time.
No, he didn't touch her butt. It was one of those twilight periods, you know.
What do you mean twilight zone?
I didn't say twilight zone, now did I? I said it was sort of this area of, he's not quite, you know, he's not doing anything that's upsetting her. He was joking.
Maybe he wasn't hitting on her.
Oh, yes, he was, man. Believe me when I tell you. I got to find this guy's name, and then we can embarrass him. And for all I know, he's a big producer and probably, you know, with like whatever aspirations I have in film or TV, he'll just absolutely nip them in the bud. So
yeah, nice going.
Yeah, good move for me to bring it up. Anyway, welcome back to our world-famous Phil Henry Show. Don't forget, tomorrow we have episode 12 of our free Phil Henry podcast rolling out. Go to our homepage, philhenryshow.com. Follow the link there in the banner and download the hell out of it, baby. Download it like you've never downloaded anything before in your life. Get them all. Get all 11. Get all 12. We've got 12 of them, and we're going to have more. Two a week, Monday and Thursday, is free podcast day. So just make a mark on your calendar. Oh, Phil, it's his free podcast. Boom, baby. And you get a taste of what we do here on the Phil Henry Show, and you also get a nice taste of what's happening on our website. Then you go over to the website and get a backstage pass. That's how that works. Early ancestors, of all the stories that I saw, this, of course, is the one that I'm going to pull out of the stack and put it right at the very top. Let me get my glasses, my wire-rimmed glasses that make me look.
Yeah, you said lick.
Yeah, it said you make me lick.
Oh, well, we can't have a mispronunciation and let that just go by the boards. You guys got to put a big spotlight on it, don't you?
Yeah, let me put on my glasses that make me lick. Yeah.
Ha, ha, ha. That make me look. Professorial. Early human ancestors chewed bark. Thank you. On to our next story.
What, is that it?
No, I'm being an ass. You know, I'm just joking around. That's all I read, though. Here's our story. Early human ancestors chewed bark. And now this from Alpo. No,
That'd be hysterical. Yeah, just do that.
Yeah, what we ought to do is just read headlines. read headlines and see where that gets us. You know, see just how it probably won't get us very far at all. Early human ancestor chewed bark. Don Grady, ex-Mouseketeer and My Three Sons star, dies. Now, that's not very funny. And then there's a whole bunch of other stories here that are out of order. All right, let me just do it the right way. I found this interesting. Anything having to do with the history of the human race, DNA, genetics, mitochondrial DNA, mitochondrial DNA, however it's pronounced, all of that is interesting to me. Anthropology, archaeology, sociology, psychology.
Zoology.
An early relative of humans chewed on bark and leaves, according to fossil evidence. When they say a relative of humans, what they're basically saying is this. It's a humanoid or a humanoid form that died out, that went extinct. So at any given time, there were not just the ancestors to the Homo sapien, which was, and I always hate to say this because Bud always goes, what was it called? Homo erectus. See, why don't you grow up?
Then you don't grow up, man. You got to admit that's funny.
The first time it was funny. The 8 millionth time, it ain't funny anymore. Every time I say Homo erectus, I got to look at you because you're going to go, ah!
It's pretty funny, though.
Oh, Bud, you got a mind like a freaking baby. Let me just get through one story. One story where I say Homo erectus and you don't go, ah!
Man, you got to grow up, man, if you want to be a big-time broadcaster. What are you talking about? I know what I'm doing.
Not if you're laughing like a freaking ape every time I say that. So when we talk about the relatives of human beings, we're not necessarily talking about a direct link ancestor to us. We're talking about one of many forms of humanoid types, anthropods that wandered the earth. And we're the only ones that are left, us and the primates. You know, the last one that was a distant cousin to us, Neanderthal man, they died out, 50,000 years ago, something like that?
What was that about?
Neanderthals we coexisted with Neanderthals. And technically, you might say a Neanderthal was a different species, but there were humans and Neanderthals at the same time. You can imagine, for instance, if we were alive today, if Neanderthals were alive today.
But they have suits and everything?
Yeah, would they drive cars?
Well, I just don't think that they wouldn't exist. It would be impossible for them to exist.
Why?
Because of the nature of our two species, what happened was, if they were still around, that would mean that they had some quality that made them highly competitive to us for the things that keep people and species alive. You understand? So in other words, if Neanderthals were still here, then first of all, they would have had to have been more adaptable than they were. They would have to be more of a competition for humans. And for us to reach this point of our evolution and Neanderthals to be here too, we would have had to have reached some accommodation with them on how we're going to share this planet, man, because they did die out.
I don't understand.
I know you don't understand. I barely understand. The fact is they died out because they were no match for humans. We were the ones that got all of the food source. We were the ones that hunted the herds. We were the ones that got all of the crops gathered. We were the ones that learned how to fish. We were the ones that learned how to adapt better. Neanderthals just were no match. And they finally went extinct. All of the food was gone.
Why didn't human being, man, be more Christian about it?
What are you talking about? I wasn't no Christian.
There wasn't any Christianity then. But besides, human instinct is not to just go, oh, well, baby, let me give you something to eat.
Yeah, it is, man. It's like in Hurricane Katrina and everything.
Well, you're talking about a very evolved human. You're talking about a very evolved human being, an evolved human society. This was way back, Robert, way back before we even were farmers. This was back when we were still hunter-gatherers. And the first thing we're going to think about is, I got to feed my kid, I got to feed my mate, I got to feed my clan. To hell with those Neanderthals, man. Let them starve.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. It ain't Christian.
There wasn't any Christians back then, man.
Don't you know Jesus didn't come along for another couple hundred years?
Couple of hundred? We're talking tens of thousands.
What?
Years, man.
What are you yelling for?
Yeah.
Because you guys are pissed.
Every time.
Mr. Hall.
Oh, yeah. Mr. Hall.
You say it just like a little girl. Yeah, David.
What are you yelling at him for?
Because every time he goes, Mr. Hall.
Mr. Hall.
Well, I'm just saying, what are you yelling at everybody for?
I'm trying to say, I'm going to say something to you, okay?
What?
When I'm on the air and I'm talking about stuff, I don't want these guys butting in over and over and over again.
Tell them to shut up.
What do you think I'm doing, man? I'm telling them to shut up.
And they're not shutting up.
No! Every time I get into a story,
you said you want us to.
Yeah, well, you said you didn't mind. You thought it was funny.
I thought it was funny at the beginning when these cats were just weighing in every couple of times in a story. But every freaking sentence, man, I can't get two sentences in. And here's Bud with this. And every, by the way, that's something else. His juvenile mentality with this Homo erectus.
What'd you say?
It was an early species of man.
That's another thing. You and these egghead topics, man, you got to get back down in the dirt. Let's talk about stuff people care about. Talk about that bachelorette. Let's get into some of that. Did you do the Bachelorette? Have you done the Bachelorette?
No, I haven't done the Bachelorette.
Good. You're a gentleman. you like it? You see, years ago...
All right, we're going to take a break because I just hung up on David Hall, and that felt good. We'll be right back here with more on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. And, of course, it's our news and information hour with Bud and Robert. We're at philhenryshow.com.
Truth
we'll be right back.
Is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, welcome back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. And a couple of other things that we want to talk about. So anyway, our early ancestor chewed bark.
You've got to finish that story.
Oh, I'd love to finish the story without your big fat mouth. You going to keep your mouth shut?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't mean to do nothing bad.
Just be quiet, man. You know.
Yeah, but you ought to ignore it, man. You ought to pay attention to it.
Oh, well, listen to the advice here.
Yeah, well, it is true.
Listen to the advice.
I mean, I'm just telling you, man. You ought to be a little more... mature and everything, not even, focus on it.
Oh, is that what I ought to do? What else should I do?
Well, you know, I'm just saying, man.
No. Now I want to know, tell me. Let me learn from you. Please, Robert, tell me how I should run the show. Go ahead.
I'm just saying, man. Every time you say to him, hey, quit doing that, you fixate and focusing on him.
Just let me do the show, okay?
He's right, though.
Why don't you shut up? All right. Early human ancestor chewed bark.
See, just what I told you, man. You're getting distracted because you're already thinking about him saying Homo erectus, and he ain't even said it yet.
I ain't worried about him saying it. It's when I say it.
Same difference.
Hey, Bud, do that again, and I'll punch you.
What?
What you just did.
You mean?
Yeah, I didn't think I'd do it, huh?
I'm going to tell.
Oh, who are you going to tell? Who are you going to tell, man?
Tell Mr. Hall.
Oh, go ahead and tell Mr. Hall. I told you, I'd belt you the next time you did that.
Now my nose is probably broken.
I hope it is broken.
You want me to get some ice?
No, let him get some ice. I'll come in there and kick your ass again.
Man, you nailed him.
What did I say? You guys think I'm kidding here? He's sitting there going, ooh. Boom! I told him. I told both of you guys.
See, it doesn't work, man.
Bud, just get out of here, man. Just get out of here. Early human ancestor chewed bark. An early relative of humans chewed on bark and leaves according to fossil evidence. Analysis of food trapped in the teeth of the 2-million-year-old southern ape suggests it existed on a unique diet of forest fruits and other woodland plants.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that.
What was that, man?
I think iTunes.
turn iTunes off, will you? I don't like iTunes. I don't want to hear iTunes mentioned. Do you understand me?
Well, yeah.
Just turn it off. I don't like iTunes.
Why?
Because I told you, because their player sucks. The iTunes player, S-U-C-K-S, sucks.
What's that spell? I didn't do nothing.
You keep talking, man. The first fossils of Australopithecus sediba, discovered in South Africa in 2008, were hailed as a remarkable discovery. Teeth from two individuals were analyzed in the latest research focusing on patterns of dental wear, carbon isotope data, and plant fragments from dental tartar. Are you ready for that? We can figure this stuff out. This is some really old fossil, man. How old is this fossil? They don't say? Come on, man. Anyway, this was into the evolution of what could have been a direct human ancestor. They're not sure whether this is a direct human ancestor or at least one of our relatives. They found this thing back in 2008. I mean, it's probably probably millions of years old. Millions of years old. Because the face on this thing, it looks like a regular ape. Dr. Amanda Henry of the Max Planck Institute for Evolutionary Anthropology in Leipzig, Germany, led the research. Now, there's a very interesting story behind the name of that school, by the way. Max Planck was a guy that was hailed by the Nazis, believe it or not, for some of his beliefs. So I don't even know why they still have this guy's name on an institute, although I may be feeling, you know, I may be saying something that isn't fair. Maybe the family had no choice but to be associated with them. In any event, we've, for the first time, been able to put together three quite different methods for reconstructing diet and gotten one cohesive picture of the diet of this ancient species, and that picture is really quite different from what we've seen in other hominins, human ancestors. That's exciting. We're seeing a lot more variation among these species than we'd expected. Human ancestors from around this time period were probably exploring a wide variety of habitats. Each species was finding its ecological niche, if you will, a few hundred thousand years before the evolution of Homo erectus. A few hundred thousand years. The evolution of Homo erectus was what, like 100,000 years, something like that? I ought to know this. Homo erectus, which spread out of Africa into many different habitats around the world, heralding a milestone in human evolution. Dr. Henry said the Australopithecus sediba walked on two legs, but probably also spent time foraging in the trees.
What's that mean?
I think what that means is that these early ancestors of ours walked on two legs, but they also had feet like hands. You ever seen a monkey's feet?
Yeah, they look like they got a thumb or something.
Exactly. So our early ancestors had developed the ability to walk on two legs, which is a major step. Was a huge, huge step in the development of our species because no other creature on Earth does it.
What about birds?
You back?
Well, yeah.
I'm telling you, get out of line, man. I'll belt you again. What about what?
What about birds?
Birds only got two legs, man. They haven't got two hands. And if you say wings, the wings are not hands, man. Birds don't use wings to, like, you know, pick things up. They use them to fly. Birds only have two legs. And they locomotive, or whatever the hell it's called, they use their locomotion with the wings to fly. All right, so there's another 15 minutes blown. Wow.
That ain't my fault.
All right, we'll get back. Let's just start the whole hour all over again when we come back here. World famous Phil Henry Show. There is stuff, and one of the stuffs is Eric Holder and the possibility of a contempt citation. The battle brewing between the executive branch once again and all those marvelous guys in the Congress. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and our News and Information Hour, which is when I let Robert and Bud talk, and maybe that's been a mistake, you know?
I swear to God, man, I'm sorry. I ain't going to talk too much.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah, well, if I believed you guys really meant that.
I swear to God, I do.
Yeah, I do too.
because I've let you guys be a part of this hour, and I've been repaid with blah, 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 a bunch of smart-ass stuff. Every time I say homo erectus, I can't talk about certain stories, you know. And you, bud, working both sides of the street against the middle.
What do you mean?
You calling up David, and, oh, Phil's doing this and that. So I just as soon kick you guys out of here if you don't, you know, behave.
Well, I mean...
What do you mean, well, you mean?
You sure you want to do that?
If I got to do it, yeah, I'll do it. Why?
Well, I mean, let's be honest, you know, things have changed a little bit, haven't they?
Yeah, it could be that we're, you know, maybe bringing some audience in.
Oh, well, that's how it's going to be, huh?
Well, I mean, you know, one hand washes the other.
Yeah, you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours.
Oh, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. Huh? So you guys think you're the stars, is that it?
I think maybe the...
There'd be some changes around here.
Really? Well, I guess I can get up and leave then, huh?
Well, I didn't say that.
Well, I mean...
Oh, well, no. I mean, if you guys are the stars of the show, far be it from me to interrupt what you're doing.
I'm just saying, you know, you gotta remember that...
No, get David on the phone. I'm going to talk to him.
Well, no, seriously, Phil, I...
Get David on the phone. I want to talk to him.
But...
Is that it? David?
Yeah, what's up?
Hey, listen, David, it turns out that Bud and Robert, I don't know if you know this or not, they're the big stars of this show.
Well, I mean, the guys had talked to me about the fact that they might want some more money.
Well, I don't want to stand in their way. I don't want to stand in their way, you know? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to let them do the remainder of the show, and...
Wait. Hold on. Don't go off half-cocked, okay?
No, I'm not going off half-cocked. I mean, they just got done telling me there's going to be some changes around here.
I didn't say that. I just said that, you know, they've been featured prominently, and there's been positive response, and...
Well, if there's positive response, then maybe they can just do the show by themselves. What do you think of that?
Look at Phil. I'm just trying to...
No. That's fine. I'll go ahead, I'll get up, and I'll split, and I'll let them do the rest of the show. Thanks a lot, David.
Wait a second! Are we on the air?
Yeah, he walked out.
I don't know what to do.
All right, don't cry and don't panic. Where is he?
He's outside.
He's outside? Is he anywhere in the studio?
No.
He walked out. He's not... I don't know how to do it. How do you want me to do it?
What do you mean? Don't worry about it. Listen, all we got to do is, hold on. Turn that off, will you, baby? Baby, turn that off, okay? All we got to do is I'll help you guys through the rest of this, okay? Don't worry about it. Bud, you're there, right?
I'm right here, yeah.
Robert, just get the stack of news. Is this the boy? I'll kill that guy if I see him again. Get the stack of news.
What, are you talking to me?
Yeah, your name's Robert, isn't it?
Yeah.
Get the stack of news, will you?
All right, I got right here.
Now, don't panic, okay? All right, what I want you to do is I want you to read one of those things off the baby. No margaritas right now, okay, honey? No margaritas. What I want you to do is read one of the stories, okay? I'm right here. Don't worry about it.
Washington Post refused Mitt Romney request.
Read it good.
Shut up, man. I am reading. Washington Post refused Mitt Romney request for retraction. Politico has determined that the Washington Post has refused to retract the article that it ran last week regarding presumptive Republican...
Let me see.
Don't sweat.
Can't grab it out of his hand, okay?
Just try to see if he's doing it good.
I'm doing it good, man. About the presumptive nominee of the Republican Party.
All right, now, Bud, you grab one, and you read one, and then we'll alternate. Go ahead, Bud.
What do you mean about alternate?
Never mind. Just read it.
Google helped create a world brimming with digital distraction for people spending time of their lives.
What's digital? What's that mean?
Digital, man.
Oh, digital.
All right. Now, see if there's any phone calls.
Yeah.
Take one. I don't care which. Just take one.
All right. Hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Well, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Oh, hello. I'm calling in to remark on the Google digital transitions. I was listening to your program just a minute ago.
Bud Dickman
Oh, I'm Bud Dickman. What do you want to say?
Yes, Mr. Dickman, I heard you mentioning the digital transition of Google.
Yeah.
I think it's fascinating what Google is going to try to do with these, because you know their eyeglasses or some kind of optic aid that will enable people to access the Internet in ways and eyes we've never even seen before. Quite right, huh?
Yeah.
The other thing, too, of course, the work that I've done with BMW and the hydrogen car precipitates, I think, advertising on a national scale, eh, what?
Yeah.
And the fact that Google, having had so many public relations disasters, shall we say, relative to some of their hiring or some of their editorial content, as well as security issues, I think this is going to do them quite right, at least publicly, with the people, you know.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Enjoyed your program very much. And also you, Mr. Leonard.
Yeah.
All right, that was perfect. How much time?
No.
All right, I'm back. Get out of here.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, thank God. I was listening to the disaster in the other room, man. I didn't know whether to laugh or cry.
What disaster? We had the thing covered.
Yeah, we were doing pretty good.
It sucked. Thanks, David.
Now, listen, when you hang up on me, it makes me look like I'm your bitch, so I don't...
Thanks, David.
You made him look like your bitch.
That's right. That's the idea. All right, welcome back here to the Phil Hendry Show.
Digital.
That's what they said.
Yeah, that's what you said, you idiot. Welcome back here to the Phil Hendry Show. Here's an interesting thing. Now, this is an interesting story that I want to read from beginning to end, and I don't want to be interrupted because we've butchered everything that we've done on the show so far. Serial rapist case uses federal DNA database. A national DNA database is turning the tide on cold cases. On Tuesday, Surfside Beach Police assisted Charlotte Police. Now, this is Surfside, North Carolina. In charging a man with three rapes that occurred, guess what the year was? 1979, folks. That is 33 years ago. 33 years ago, the long arm of the law, the long arm of justice reaches out and taps some schmuck on the shoulder and says, excuse me. Some guy who thought he'd gotten away with it. Some guy who thought, whew. Well, I guess there are no consequences in life. The fact that I just feel guilty about it, that's good enough. I paid my dues, I've paid my time, if you will, by feeling really, really bad about this for 33 years as I went about my business of being just an overall jackass. Au contraire, mon frère. This guy was a 62-year-old Surfside Beach resident. Surfside Beach, wait a second, I know where that is, man.
Where is it?
That's around Surf City, North Carolina, you know?
Yeah, Surf City, Surfside. What a difference.
It's in the state of North Carolina. I think I know some people around there. Anyway, to link Surfside Beach resident Jerry Brooks to the crimes, police used a DNA database called the Combined DNA Index System, CODIS. You guys know this system. You've heard of it. It was put in place following 9/11. It is basically doing something that cops never did before because cops were very territorial. Cops were all about their turf. Cops were all about, excuse me, I got this, man. Don't worry about it. If I need help from you, I'll call you up and ask. One of the most notable cases of this kind of turf-conscious policing was the Manson murder cases. The LAPD and the LA County Sheriff couldn't have had their heads further up their asses when it came to communicating. To give an example, you got the LA Sheriff working the LaBianca killings. You have LAPD working the Tate murders. You have the discovery of a gun by a young boy a few months after these murders occurred, and this boy was a Boy Scout, and as a result of that, he knew how to handle a weapon that might be evidence in a crime. This kid found this thing in ivy down the side of a hill near his house. He picks it up by the trigger guard, just like he had been taught, doesn't touch it. There might be fingerprints. Takes it back to his house, shows it to his father. His father picks up the phone. He calls LAPD. Out to the house comes LAPD. And what's the first thing that the cop does? He starts putting his hands all over the gun. Wow, this is a really interesting gun you got here. Wow, look at this gun. And here's this little kid going, wow, I took all that precaution not to put my hands on the gun. And
maybe fingerprints don't last that long.
Maybe they do. But meanwhile, this gun that sat at LAPD was one that the LA County Sheriff was looking for. But because there was no communication, there was no communication. Well, things have changed over the years, and especially since 9/11. Now we have police officers all over the country saying, you know, if you can help me, let's get it together and solve these crimes. I don't give a damn who gets the credit. How about that? It's pretty much like a fingerprint database in that you've got two codes sitting on a server. You submit this other set of codes, and it's either matches or it doesn't, said Surfside Police Chief Mike Frederick. In 2010, more than 100,000 crimes were matched to convict felons and missing person DNA in the CODIS database. That was in 2010. In 1979, police did not have a match for the DNA. It had as evidence for what was called the ski mask rapist. So those cases went cold. I don't think they even, in 1979, did they even look for DNA. Brooks later went to prison for a bank robbery. As part of his probation when he was released, his DNA was put into the CODIS system. Charlotte police recently opened up the serial rapist file, and Brooks popped up as a clear match. Horry County Crime Scene Supervisor Peter Sestari said, if handled properly, DNA evidence can last indefinitely, even those preserved in 1979. DNA is going to be there forever. It's going to be there long after you and I are gone, said Lieutenant Sestari. Right now, three Horry County cold cases sit in the database waiting for a match. Sestari said advancements in DNA technology have led states to increase the amount of time a suspect can be tried. DNA has changed the statute of limitations on so many crimes because the DNA may not present itself for 20 years. I'm telling you, it's an amazing science. It's just amazing. And there was a case that I saw here not too long ago. This thing was a mind blower. They finally found the DNA match on a girl that was killed in the late 60s. Now, you ready for this? This girl's body was found. She was either a hitchhiker. No, I'll tell you what. She advertised for, back in those days, people used to say, I'm interested in anybody traveling from this place to that place. And someone would call you up and say, oh, I'm going there. Oh, great. Well, I'll ride with you and I'll share the gas. People did that. They would take out ads in newspapers. This young woman did this. And today it sounds insane, doesn't it? But, and she got a ride with this guy and, well, Now, nobody knew this. They found her body. They didn't know who she got a ride with or what. But they did find this DNA, or at least they found blood evidence, some kind of evidence. And they preserved this. They held on to it. They held on to it for God, we're talking 40-plus years. What they held on to, basically, was just the clothing of this young woman that had some of this physical evidence on it. When we finally had reached the stages of DNA testing that we have today, they went and pulled this out of the cold case. They said, we have this young woman who was killed. They ran the DNA through their database. They got two hits. Two. One of them was of a traveling salesman who was traveling, it just so happens, in that area at that particular time. And guess what? Now, we're going to take a break here. Let me just finish the story. The other DNA was of a boy who was only 3 years old at the time.
What?
Yeah. A guy who's in prison now. That's just not a coincidence. The lab blew it. And when I say they blew it, what I mean is they contaminated this evidence and they got someone else's DNA on it. The someone else's, this three-year-old boy. Well, he wasn't 3 years old. He is an inmate in the state of Michigan, and his DNA, or some of the blood that they used to test DNA, got onto these pantyhose. But it was impossible. A three-year-old boy didn't kill a college-age woman. I'll finish the story. We got to take a break. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We come back. I'll sort of unravel it for you.
That's the nuttiest thing that I ever heard.
Yeah.
Truth is our bitch.
Here's the another Phil Hendry Show.
What?
You're hired, bud.
That was nuts.
Yeah.
This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right. World famous Phil Hendry Show. So, how'd you like that story?
Yeah, that's pretty weird. That's kind of hard to believe.
Well, what happened was this. And if I'm getting a little, you guys can check this out, but what happened was this. We're picking up this story that I was telling you before the break about DNA And we were talking about the DNA evidence that is preserved that can crack these cases, these cold cases. I mean, Dan and I were just talking. I mean, this DNA technology and its ability to match a suspect to a crime is the most revolutionary thing to come along since maybe fingerprinting, and maybe it's even bigger than that. Fingerprints were big, being able to match fingerprints to human beings. And, of course, the deciders, is it admissible in court? Is it, like, lie detector tests are not admissible in court.
Why do they do them, man?
They do them, cops use lie detector tests to give them a feel for something. You can't convict a guy on a lie detector result. Can't do that. But it'll damn sure put cops on your ass if you fail one. That in combination with other things.
Yeah, but what if you're innocent?
If you're innocent, you're innocent. I mean, they're going to have to come up with something else. They can't just take you to... No DA is going to charge you based upon a lie detector. Ain't going to happen. So there's nothing to worry about there if you're innocent. And a lot of innocent people fail lie detector tests because, after all, it's the guy who doesn't have a conscience, the guy who doesn't react to the suffering of others, the guy who doesn't have a normal personality, he's more likely to pass a lie detector test because you can say to him, did you kill Mary Brown with a hatchet? And he'll say no, and you won't see any reaction in terms of his cardiovascular system, the rate of his breathing, his pulse rate, nothing, you know. But what happened in this case in Michigan was the following thing. The jury was not stupid. They knew that the DNA of a man who was in his 20s or 30s at the time, who they had sitting right in front of them, was found on this woman's pantyhose. It was sweat DNA, I think, some kind of DNA. He was perspiring over this woman as he was moving her body after having killed her. And they know that guy is sitting right in front of her, in front of them. They know that he was a traveling salesman at the time. They know he was in the state of Michigan at the time. They know that he was in that area at that time. He was traveling by car at that time. And, oh, yeah, guess what? His DNA is on her pantyhose.
Yeah, what about that kid?
All right, now the other side of that, which you're talking about, Bud, is to the everlasting shame of the Michigan Crime Lab, because that's a clear case of having contaminated evidence with DNA that had nothing to do with the case. And what it was the DNA of a Michigan State inmate who was 3 years old at the time of this girl's death. Now, this defendant, his lawyer, obviously was all over that. I mean, he just went ape on that. Oh, wait a second, because you have this guy's DNA, and he was in it. Well, the jury wasn't fooled. They said, no way does a three-year-old kid kill a woman. It's obvious that the crime lab somehow mishandled.
Yeah, but why couldn't you say that they mishandled it? The other guy?
Yeah, well, they could have slopped his DNA over.
That guy had never been arrested for anything. They didn't have his DNA. They didn't have his DNA in the abundance that they had on these pantyhose. You understand what I'm saying? They had spots all over these pantyhose with this guy's DNA. They took a DNA sample just to match it against the spots on the pantyhose. But they didn't have any DNA profile on this guy other than when he was arrested and they took a swab.
How do they know they didn't take the swab and sprinkle it all over the lady's pantyhose?
Because it wasn't consistent. The amount of DNA that they had from this guy in this oral swab consistent with the amount they found on the pantyhose. And the kid, the little three-year-old boy, there's no way a three-year-old boy kills a woman.
Well, you can't say absolutely.
Oh, will you get real, bud?
Yeah, man.
Why?
What did he do? Crawl out of his crib and go and kill her? Are you nuts?
Yeah, but if I was his lawyer.
If you were his lawyer, you'd get laughed out of that freaking courtroom, which is almost what happened. What happened was this. The jury said, forget it, Jack. You ain't going to sell us that one. We know what happened here. They obviously contaminated somehow the pantyhose with this other person's DNA, but your client's DNA is all over this woman's clothing. And guess what? You're guilty, and you're going down for the count. So there you go. You know,
I don't know, man. That sounds kind of shaky to me.
Maybe it is, but made for a really good show on ID. World famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and Phil Hendry. And, of course, we're online at philhendryshow.com. So get yourself a backstage pass and join us over there for live streaming video. Live streaming video of our show each and every night at philhendryshow.com. Don't forget, as I mentioned to you guys, We have our podcast, which is the Phil Hendry, the free Phil Hendry podcast, is episode 12, and that's tomorrow. I'm just checking my notes here. Episode 12 tomorrow. And until then, let that be a lesson to you. See you tonight.
Phil Hendry.